Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading with verse 13. We're running right into the middle of a very extended, long and extended sentence here in the Word of God, and so we're going to jump kind of in the middle, but I think we'll very quickly be able to make sense out of what's being said here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, God tells us, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." At this time, let's look to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, and as we look into it today to see the person of Christ, may you bless us with understanding. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I want to look at the fact that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the American dream. Kind of a patriotic theme again this evening, and yet looking at the person of Christ. In the American dream, there are many things that people envision, and yet we'll find in the Scriptures that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the things that Americans dream about. All those things which we aspire to, all those things we want to find in this life, we find in the person of Jesus Christ. In our message this morning, we mentioned many gods that America is serving today, replacing Jesus Christ. And one of those that we looked at was the God of wealth. But if we turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7, we find that Jesus Christ is that fulfillment, that if that is that which we are seeking for in life, Jesus is the one who we need to be looking to, and not to our employer, not to the economist, not to the stock market, but we need to be looking to the person of Jesus Christ if we desire riches in this world. We have many immigrants coming to our nation in search of prosperity, financial prosperity and riches. Where they need to go to find that is not out to the workplace or the marketplace, but to the local church that preaches the Word of God and shares with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible tells us that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. If you want to know what true riches are all about, you find it in the grace of Jesus Christ and in him alone. Because if we seek for riches and financial goods or material goods, it's all fleeting, nor is it satisfying once we achieve it. But if we find the riches of Jesus Christ, that we find that they're inexhaustible, we find that we cannot use the grace, the riches of God's grace up in any of our lifetimes, or even in Christians as a whole that are alive on the earth today, we cannot use up the inexhaustible riches of the grace of God. And what wonderful grace that is. The fact that God is willing to give to us through the person of Jesus Christ all those things that you and I do not deserve. What wonderful riches it is. I mean, what more can we ask for? What more can we want? What more could we need? After all, our Father in heaven owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills as well. He owns the entire planet, all the minerals, all the gems that are contained in the earth and in the mountains across the face of this globe. He owns it all. After all, he created it all. He never relinquished ownership to any of it. And if you're his child this evening, he promises you that he will supply your every need by his riches in Christ Jesus. And so part of that American dream involves riches. We find it in the person of Jesus Christ and in His grace. We also find the part of the American dream is the educational system, the ability to gain an education. Turn back to Colossians chapter 2. We find that Jesus Christ, as well as being the ultimate riches, the riches of grace, we find that He also is the fulfillment of that which we're looking for in knowledge and wisdom. In Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 2, we read that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And what a treasure it is to know the person of Jesus Christ, to study His Word, to understand where we came from, to understand where we're going. We'll find it in no other area and in no other book. We'll find it from no other source on the face of the earth, the answer to those life's most perplexing questions. And yet in the Word of God and in the person of Jesus Christ, we find those answers. You see, in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. We can seek an education from any secular source, and we can learn certain fundamental truths that are just exhibits of God's natural laws on this planet. But if that education lacks the person of Jesus Christ, our education, our knowledge, our wisdom will be lacking in what it could be. You see, in Christ, we find the fulfillment of that striving for of education. He is the fulfillment of the American dream. The passage we began with, I failed to mention this, I should have. We want to focus in on Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, where it tells us that in Christ all fullness dwells. If there's anything you're looking for in Christ, if you're looking for in this life, where should you look? In the person of Christ. In Him dwells all the fullness of the riches of God's grace. In Him dwells all the fullness of wisdom and knowledge. But we also find that in our country, we are fighting right now on two different battlefronts, trying to bring peace to this world, trying to have the absence of strife. The United Nations has been working very diligently for years, trying to bring about peace in this world. But we know it's all to no avail, because they're doing it without Christ. Christ is the only one who will bring peace. In John 14, verse 27, before Christ went to the mockery of a trial in that final evening with His disciples, He left them a promise that carries down to you and me today. If you're looking for peace, you won't find it from the United Nations. You won't find it from any military power, whether it be the United States or any other. Here's where you'll find peace. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The world is striving after peace. We have great movements and pushes for peace. We have people who are anti-war for any reason or any cause, and their purpose behind it is peace. And yet they don't realize that if they don't bear arms, they'll lose the right to be able to picket for peace and to try and bring about political peace or peace by political means. The fact is, the only way peace will ever be achieved is through the person of Jesus Christ. And when we have Christ in our heart, when we've taken Him as our Savior, when we've realized the fact that we're sinners and can do nothing about it, we're helplessly lost in our sin, but Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, died for those sins, and we can have eternal life, we will just put our faith in Him that He finished it all when He said it is finished on the cross of Calvary, that we, as we place our faith in Him and that sacrifice, we will have eternal life. When we come to Him, we can have that peace that the world is striving for. It doesn't matter if we're in the midst of a battle zone. We can have peace, the assurance that God is in control, that He has our life in His hand, that nothing can harm us outside of His will. And so there's a great deal of peace in the confidence in Jesus Christ, but it only comes through Christ. We can be in the midst of a vast army, of the most powerful army on the face of the earth, and there'll be no peace if we're facing enemy fire, if we know not Christ. There's nothing but great fear on the battlefield. Talking to my father-in-law, as my wife and I have tried to witness to him, he fought in the Korean conflict, and he has difficulty understanding that hell is a literal place. He always points back to the battlefield and the terrors of war. You see, he knows no peace. He has no peace that Christ offers. We offer it to him, but he rejects it. It's very sad, but it's true. But the world is searching for peace. Great amounts of money are expended on it. People spend a great deal of energy as we try to bring about peace in the Palestinian and Israeli conflict as well. And yet it's all to no avail. Without Christ, there is no peace. This world will never know total peace until Christ comes back and sets up his millennial kingdom. He is the fulfillment of the American dream. Through riches, through education, through peace, but also in liberty. In liberty. Turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 21. We find that liberty is only enjoyed as we come to the person of Jesus Christ. There is no other means to total liberty in the life of anyone outside of Christ. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 21, it says, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God." What glorious liberty we have, what wonderful liberty God has given to us. Before we come to Christ, we're trapped in the bondage of our sins. We're trapped under the power of the devil. But when we come to Christ, He sets us free. He is a wonderful, wonderful master to serve because He allows us to exert our own decisions and our own will. Now He asks us to submit that and surrender it to Him, but He allows His children to go wayward. We don't understand why He does that, but He allows that to happen. He allows men to reject Him, but that does not mean that they have the freedom from Christ. That came out all wrong. We don't know any liberty until we come to Christ. We may think we have it before we come to Christ. We may think, well, if I come to Christ, this was my attitude. I have to give up this, that, and the other thing. And particularly, it's drinking, smoking, and all the sins of the world. We think we've got to give all those things up if we come to Christ. You don't have to. You should. You should. But you don't have to. But outside of Christ, there is no liberty. All there is sin, bondage, and entrapment. The pursuit of liberty is found only in the person of Christ because He is the fullness of all things. We also find over in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, another part of the American dream is equality for all. Great energy and resources go into the different movements to bring about freedom, activism, racial and gender equality. But there will be no equality outside of Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, here God tells us there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. There is no true equality in any civilization, in any society, in any culture outside of Jesus Christ. Now, most people outside of Christ look at biblical Christianity and they say that we oppress women because only men are allowed to be the preachers, only men are allowed to be the deacons in the church. And they say we're oppressive. No, we're not oppressive. There's complete unity and equality in the local church and inside of Christ. Now, He gives us certain rules and He gives us certain responsibilities, but that doesn't mean inequality. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means we're submissive and surrendered to what God has instructed us in His Word. We don't understand why. There's many women who are wonderful preachers. I'm married to one. Just kidding. I'll pay for that one later. I may be over to your house knocking on your door for some dinner tonight and a place to sleep. But there's some women that are wonderful Bible teachers. There really are. I don't understand why God doesn't want them behind a pulpit leading a local church and preaching to a congregation. I don't understand why, but God said it very clearly in His Word. And who am I to argue against God? I won't do it. If you want to, go ahead. Go ahead. I don't think you win the argument, but you can argue all you want. I don't understand why God says that the order of authority in the home is God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, the husband, and the wife. I don't understand why, but that's what God said. And again, if you want to argue, you can argue with God. I'm not going to. I'm just going to accept it. But there is entire equality. Just because I'm a man, I'm not a first-class citizen, and my wife is not a second-class citizen in the kingdom of heaven. There aren't going to be different levels in heaven. These wonderful mansions up on the hilltop for the men, and down in the valley there's some shacks. It's not going to be that way. There's equality, entire, complete equality. We've been striving for that. Gender equality for years in this nation, in the world. I don't know why they don't point the finger at the Muslims. Now, there's a religion that definitely does not have equality of the genders. It just doesn't. They oppress the women drastically, very terribly. But also the racial equality. He says Jew and Gentile. The Jews had a problem with that. They thought they were God's chosen people. They thought they were better than the rest. Our nation's history has had a somewhat of a problem in our history, the equality of the races. But God knows nothing, knows absolutely nothing of racism. You see, He created us all. And if you want to follow your family tree back, we all go back to the person of Noah and his wife and his boys. And go back further, we all came from Adam and Eve. No matter what race we are, no matter what color we are, perfect equality. The color of the skin does not mean that we're any different. It just means we have a different color of skin. We're the same beneath the skin. We all have a soul. We all need a Savior. Jesus died for us all. There's no room for racism in Christianity. The world's striving for it. They'll never find it outside of Christ. There's total equality in Christ because He is the fullness of all things. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. We'll look at one other. We have at least a half dozen more, but I don't want to. Well, I would like to preach all night, but I don't think you'd sit there and listen all night. So we'll stop at this one. Prosperity. Prosperity is a little bit different than riches. Riches is only in the avenue of finances. Prosperity involves finances, it involves our jobs. You can be prosperous and be poor. It involves our family. It involves everything we undertake in this life. We all want to be prosperous in our life. Well, how do we find prosperity? I believe that would sum up as we consider what the American dream is all about. I think prosperity is a good one-word definition. How do we find prosperity? Well, of course, it's in the person of Jesus Christ. Look what 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20 tells us. It says that they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem." Now here's what we need to see about prosperity. "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe His prophets, so shall you prosper." And so we find the key to prosperity is, first of all, having faith in God in heaven above and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Having faith that He'll take care of things, that if we follow His rules, we'll come out okay and everything will work out just fine. Though it may not look like it, though it may contradict the advice we're getting from the world, but if we just stay true to God's way, if we have faith, believe in Him, that He desires only our good, that He truly loves us, He cares for us, that He wants our good, which is His glory in our lives, that everything will be okay. And the second step is by giving our faith as well in His Word. His Word. It's important that we follow the rules, the commandments, in the Word of God if you want prosperity. You won't find it any other way. You won't find it any other place. You see, Jesus Christ is the living Word. The Bible is the written Word. They're one and the same. Jesus would never say anything to contradict the Word, nor would the Word ever teach us anything that would contradict the person of Christ. If we don't follow God's instruction manual for life, we'll never know prosperity. We may have a great deal of money. I've known people who've had a great deal of money and are complete failures. Absolute, complete failures. I've known other people that haven't had a dime to their name who are very, very prosperous in this world. You see, it all involves the person of Jesus Christ because He is the fullness of all things. And so, this patriotic week, as we rub shoulders with the lost of the world, may we share the sufficiency of Christ for the fulfillment of the American dream. He is the answer to all of men's problems and all of men's dreams. And if they're without Christ, they'll never realize those dreams, and they will experience those problems of life that comes all of our ways. He is the answer, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior we serve tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, what You teach us in it. Help us always to focus upon Jesus Christ in our lives, to do as You instruct us in Your Word, that our lives might bring glory and honor to Your holy name. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.